Right, welcome to another episode of Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. We're covering Married at First Sight Australia, Season 11, Episodes 13 through to 16. Now, Chris, where would you like to start today?
Well, Dave, let's start with a commitment ceremony. So we had Ben and Ellie. Ben, bullshitter Ben. I am not want kids. I want kids. He was doing the fucking okie cokey, and he's doing it again. And I tell you what's pissing me off about him, Dave. He's got a Stan Laurel type confused face, hasn't he? Like, he's getting praised all over the place in the commitment ceremony by the experts, by the contestants. Andrea calls him out, and he's just mute. He's just stood there looking at him like, yeah. And then he just goes, I'm in. And I'm like, fuck off, you are in. Absolute. He's not as obvious as some of the other people, but he's just not interested in Ellie. And you can't 1 minute say you don't want kids, and then all of a sudden I said this last week, but you see your nephew and niece and go, yeah, I mean, I definitely want kids. Fuck off.
Yeah, I heard them crying in the background.
And it's like, nonsense.
Oh, I just thought, yeah, I want this. I mean, when I hear mine crying in the fucking background, it's like, oh, for fuck's sake, what's going on? Stop fucking fighting. What are you doing? Pain in the ass. But it's almost like he's come in with a bit of a plan, hasn't he? You know, he's going to bullshit it. Apparently having a podcast is something to promote, you know, going on like a TV show. And it's like, oh, here comes the big time. But he just can't really be asked to see it through. He's like, yeah, he's getting called out and he's got no good answers. Chris, I have to say, we've had a few callbacks and it's not going to be the last one today, but callbacks to Harrison and Bronte from last season. And for me, even though Harrison was the biggest bullshitter in the world, and he's like, oh yeah, you know, really making a go of it, he's determined, you know, to convince everyone. You know, he's trying to fight his corner. Ben is just like, he can't be asked like to do the fighting, but he's just gonna bullshit his way through. But it's almost a bit beneath him to be bothered to do that. And I can't tell if Ellie really buying it. Is she really that fucking gullible? But it's interesting where this couple's gonna go, isn't it? Because we say about the major reason for everyone to get on this is to promote themselves. But, yeah, you know, you can still spark a relationship up even despite that. But it's almost like he's not even entertaining that idea. It's just like all a bit of an inconvenience. Not the only one who sees the weekends as being there, like, you know, oh, my fucking 9-to-5 job of pretending I'm married on maths is over now. I can go and do what I want at the weekend.
It is, and you're so right. It's like, you know, I can always throw back to Richie, you know, on the UK on the last couple of episodes, but yeah. It is the same. It's like Ben, once the camera's gone, he's been horrible. He's like teasing her like a little kid, and he's like, oh, yeah, life partner, is it? Like, it's like the in-between us or something. Oh, friend. I'm like,
oh, friend.
But then his portrayal on the camera, and obviously he got called out by a cousin or whoever that guy was in the first episode, and completely right. He was completely right to call Ben out. But it's the experts in it. The experts are a bit more aware now of what us as the audience feel, you know, like, even though there's some things I want to talk about, there is comments by John, by Mel, by Alessandra, especially John. John is very aware of what's being said about the show. So with these two, they haven't got a fucking prayer. And Andrea called him out. She said that your insecurities is what's ruining the relationship. I think, yeah, you could probably say that, but I'd also say what you've just said, Dave. He's just there for the fame, the clicks. If he's promoting his podcast, fuck me, it must be one hell of a podcast. If he thinks going on maths is going to get him into the mainstream, I don't know what world, as we do a podcast, I don't know what world he lives in to feel like he can do that. It's not exactly going to be fucking Joe Rogan at the end of all this, is he?
Well, I don't know. He's not a bell end, so he might come close. But I mean, he's just not interesting, is he? On any level, just the stuff that he says, he's just not an interesting character. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, these guys are in the bin, surely, aren't they?
100%. And I tell you what, Dave, you say like Andrew and Richard, if we move on to them, why is Richard sharing all this stuff about their sex life? Is he like trying to be in with the kids or something? Like he seems then genuine. And then he's just like, mate, we get it. Everyone sat there like, oh no, this is like my grandparents saying they're having sex or something. Please stop. Please stop. You know, it's really bizarre. He keeps sharing this stuff.
He's just weird, isn't he? He had that thing of like, oh yeah, people say I don't look 60. And it's like, I don't know, mate. You sort of do. It's got this attitude of like, I don't know. Oh, I lie because, you know, I can easily pass for 40. Chris, I was watching a bit more of The Office last night and I sent you the screenshots. It's like, I was watching the Christmas specials where David Brent's trying to get himself a date and stuff. And it's almost like that, you know, where he's trying to be this young hipster or something. And yeah, I think that's behind his oversharing. I don't think it's necessary myself, but yeah, I mean, they seem to be enjoying each other, don't they?
Literally, Dave, that's a very good segue. I'd say who isn't enjoying themselves though, Dave? And I love the fact that she got called out with Sarah and Tim. I love the party political broadcast apology that she came out with. You know, I'm even to say, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. You know what I mean? It was like she apologized to him, but not directly. Then apologized to the group. And fair play to Mel. Mel was like, yeah, you're not even apologizing to him. You're not apologizing directly. You can't look him in the eye. And honestly, this Sarah is fucking fuming. Anybody criticizes any part of her, and you can clearly see, Dave, that Mel is now on her hit list of like voodoo dolls that she's knitting when she gets home, because she can't. I mean, nobody likes to be criticized. I think as you get older, you become more aware, whether we like it or not, that sometimes, you know, the bell end that you think they are is sometimes yourself, innit? You know what I mean? We can all be stubborn. We can all overstep the mark. But Sarah, at this present time in her life, she has not got that awareness of herself, has she? And she just thinks she's right. And no matter what Mel said, anybody else said, she's having none of it. Even Cassandra was brilliant again. She laid into it. She's like, perhaps you're a bit scared of her, Tim. And he's like, well, and then she jumps across him, doesn't she? She speaks for him. She's fucking weird. These are not going to make it at all.
Well, she just comes across a bit fucking abusive, to be honest.
Yes.
You know, I think the way she sort of speaks for him, even when people direct questions to him, and you can see, we've said this, the other way around, when you've got a domineering bloke, like the guy from the UK season last year, you know, he was quite, you know, like a cult leader or something like that. And it's the same with Sarah. She's just too much, and it's slightly sinister the way she communicates to him. And I don't know. I just don't feel like this couple have got any chance now. I think she's really kind of showing her true colors. The whole thing, the 9 to 5 is epitomized by her more than anyone, isn't it? It's like, oh, it's the weekend, you know, now I'm off now. I don't have to pretend I'm married to you. And he seems to still be trying it. And of course, you know, we haven't had too much with the OG couples this week, have we? We had the commitment ceremony, then we had the dinner party at the end, and got the wedding episodes for the intruder couples in the middle, haven't we? So I feel a bit shortchanged with where Sarah and Tim are this week, but definitely next week I think I'm intrigued where they go, because it's almost, you know, when I can't think of a good example, but like when you're a kid maybe and you're out or something like that and you misbehave or something, and then you get told, like, wait till we get home. You're like, oh, shit. I feel like that's how Tim is, you know. So when Mel was going at Sarah, I'm thinking, oh, fucking hell, Tim's going to get this when he gets back home now.
And nothing epitomizes that more. When you were like, give him a cuddle. Give him a cuddle. He was whispering in his ear, I am going to rip your dick off when we get home. You fucking know he was getting the full Glenn Close job on the way home.
Give him a cuddle. Not with his neck, with your hands.
Homer Simpson and Bart. Yeah, I'll give him a fucking cuddle. But I think you've hit on a good point there. We do feel a little bit shortchanged because even the... Moving on from that, the Cassandra and Tristan thing, you know, that was like literally on a knife edge last week, wasn't it? She didn't find him attractive. There was a little bit of dialogue that he turned the corner. We got a little bit of a VT, but not enough really to justify, I think, what had built up. But I guess it's an action-packed week with the intruders, isn't it? So I can, like you said, maybe next week we'll see sort of the bare fruit of what's going on with them two. And even that evening, Jaden, there was nothing, was there, this week of them two? He had a couple of nice suits on. Nothing. They were just passed by.
Well, when we get onto the dinner party, it did flash. The camera flashed to him for a second. I've gone, oh, fucking come on, Jaden, this is your moment. Step up.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
He didn't. Now, I know, like, obviously, we've got these characters in here, Dave, and we've got the intruder couples this week. So we've got three intruder couples. However, Stephen and Madeline, right? So we sat there, me and Sam, watching it. Madeline comes on, you know, pretty girls, comes on, I used to be an actress, I'm a psychic now. And I'm there going, this is fucking bullshit, this. So Sam then goes, I recognise it, because we've watched like Neighbours and Home and Away for years, you know, and I went, yeah, I do, but I don't remember. Anyway, go online, Dave, she appeared in over 50 episodes of Home and Away. She was pretty much a regular for literally a year in there. She had, I think it was ginger hair at the time, but... For me, the whole situation with her is the producers have come to, in my opinion, and said, we need you to play a part. And I don't believe any of it. The talking to the psych, you know, to the outer world, people above her and that. I'm not buying any of that shit. This stuff with the cow, where she's an actress, she can cry on tap. I am not buying any of it. And I must admit, it really was the bit of like maths this week where it was like, oh, no, you're going full on Love Island here. This is absolutely... fake. They've just come to her and said, play a part. I don't believe anything she's doing genuine. And Stephen is just going, what the fuck is going on here? He hasn't got a clue. it just seemed too much for me, Dave, and too fake. And that's what I was disappointed with, really, because why would you do that with someone like this? It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think the first thing I'll contest is that a Home and Away actress can cry on tap. I'm not sure about that one. I think to be fair, I mean, old Stephen, when he sees her, he thinks, fucking hell, I'm punching air, aren't I? I've done well. But whether she's putting it on or acting, I don't feel like Stephen is in on it. And I don't think there's any good way of looking at this, because if you say it's genuine and you're like, oh, is she talking to spirits or is she a bit fucking schizophrenic? I mean, maybe one of those things, you know, or if they're putting it on, putting this poor lad through all of that, I don't think any of that comes off well at all. But yeah, it was all a bit mad, wasn't it? And it was pushing the boundaries just a bit too much on believability. Like you say, they had a steak the night before. And then she's decided, oh, I can't eat these cows. And, you know, but she's almost like speaking in tongues at dinner. And you can see his face. He's just like, what the fuck's going on?
It reminded me of a Quantum Leap. You know, and then when he's going, Sam, you know, when he's talking, he's like, oh, Randall and Hopkirk, you know, they're just talking to nobody. I'm like, oh, come on, don't give me this shit. You know what I mean? Hang on a minute, I'm getting something. You know a John. Oh, right, okay. Yeah. You know Stephen. Oh, right, okay. Yeah, of course. Oh, my God, she's amazing. Yeah. How many children? You're going on a long trip. Oh, but it's a holiday later in the year. Oh, my God, it's unbelievable. Oh, how do you know these things? Come on, fuck off. I'm just... He was looking at the camera as if to say, are you any use buying this shit that I'm doing here? Any use buying it? Because I'm sat there going, oh, for fuck's sake. I couldn't wait to speak to you. I was like, Dave must have picked up on this as well.
Like I said, I mean, I can kind of maybe buy that she is hearing it or whatever. I guess, you know, the revelation that she's done all these episodes of Home and Away before, it makes you wonder. But yeah, it was just something very off. It was a bit much, even for maths, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Because you're right. And then I'm thinking, right, okay, then let me play devil's advocate. If this is real, she's not in a good place mentally. Why is she on this show? If this is real, why have they let her on the show? And that's when I kept thinking it's fake, because they're not going to let, they've got a duty of care. And I'm thinking, if she's in a bad situation like this and she's got, she shouldn't be on this show. And that's why the whole time I'm thinking, yeah, this is utter horseshit. This absolute bollocks. Yeah. So, but anyway, but yeah, let's see. It's only going to get better.
In a group situation, though. I'm waiting to see what that'll throw up in a dinner party at summer. So let's see.
Fantastic. Yeah. Then we got Michael came back, didn't we, Dave? He'd obviously, his partner from the original first episode had sort of emailed the producers. John had to come and break the bad news and said, like, look, I'm not interested. And then he gets Stephen, you know, hairdresser. Sounds like he's a bit of a celeb hairdresser, to be honest. Successful guy, saying, like, you know, I'm very secure financially and that. But then we get the backstory about, like, you know, a terrible accident when he was a kid and he's got his hair on it over his, like, one side of his face. But I think what I liked about Stephen was, and I'm going to say it is very loosely, because we know, like you've said, we all know they all come on this show for various reasons, and most of it is that popularity thing. But he was gutted when Michael said, oh, basically, you weren't my first pick. And he's like, well, what the fuck's going on? Why am I a backup sort of thing? I thought it was quite interesting, because it's true. Michael's got with this guy who the alleged experts think is ideal for him. He pulls out. Stephen then comes in because Michael's not got anybody. Next minute, Michael's fully on board with Stephen. That, I think that's what Stephen's saying, like, what's going on? Whether you don't want to, you understand the process of it's maths. You'll get paired with whoever wants to stay with you till the end of the show if you want to stay on TV. But I did feel that was a bit of a genuine conversation, to be honest. And the fact that he was a bit pushed out, I was like, actually, I do believe he was being genuine.
Yeah, see, I didn't see it that way. I saw it that, like, okay, you know, you did go to the, it's not a stag do, is it? What was it?
Box party thing.
Yeah. And you know, he was going to be paired up with someone else and someone else went off. But it's not like he actually knew that person and was going to get married to them. It's just someone who applied to be on the show or was scouted, you know, the experts thought, either these have got a good chance or these are really good to fuck with. One of those two things. It's not like, okay, there are 7 billion people on the planet. This is the only match for you. And, like, he had no say in that match anyway. So who's to say that, you know, Michael and Stephen isn't a better match than the previous one? You know, I couldn't get behind it, really. It's just like, okay, you come on this show, you're going to get paired up with a random stranger. And, you know, there can be several drafts of that. You know, I just didn't really buy it myself. I mean, I'm not dismissing the fact that Stephen feels like that. I was just trying to put myself in that situation and think, well, for me, it wouldn't make a big difference. You know, it's just there's a random element to it. And so, you know, this is just the way it's worked out this time.
No, that's interesting. You're right, because they don't meet before, do they? It's all purely when they're at the altar. That's the first interaction they have. So, yeah, maybe I'm reading too. I'm trying to get some sort of fucking solace in. Is any of it real, Dave? That was the only thing.
That's the problem, isn't it? When we cling to that belief that at its core, there's a slither of little bit of realness in it, but generally not.
Well, and I've got to say, Dave, I do think the producers, one thing they got right is they have brought the biggest, and I'm quoting you, Dave, because you said this before, gaggle of bellends, Mr. Horrocks quote, on the show. Because we get Jade, nice girl, she's chatting, and then we get Ridge, and that fucking D's thing he keeps doing, Dave, he wants a fucking slap. It was getting on my nerves. I thought he was a play on words with his two fucking six-year-old fucking mates when it was like D's was basically double D's. So me and Sam were debating it. I said, I think he's been just trying to be clever and he's talking about her chest area. And that wasn't correct. It was just something he was doing all the way through. But what about... When one minute he seemed dead genuine and the guard had dropped and he'd say something really nice about Jade, and then obviously we got the backstory about how he grew up and what he's had to go through, you know, and everything, and you're like, oh, maybe it's just an act, it's just something, and then he kept fucking doing it. I mean, his two mates are a pair of cocks, aren't they? Absolute bellends. Yeah. And you could see everyone in that room walked out there on crutches, the fucking toes had curled up that much. It was cringe. It's not even like, it's like, yeah, you do that thing with your friends in your WhatsApp group or when you're together, if you want to be that childish, but, oh, it was awful. And Jade's sat there going, what the fucking hell am I doing with this clown? Oh, what did you think, Dave? He was a right cock, wasn't he?
Yeah, one of the biggest bell ends we've seen, I think. I just, the whole days. I think they've come on that show thinking, oh, we'll keep saying this and then it'll catch on like a catchphrase. It'll take off across Australia. Everyone will be saying it. Days. It comes across like such a frat boy, fuck boy sort of thing, doesn't it? And just his mates, you know what they reminded me of? You know when Simon thinks he's going to lose his virginity, doesn't he? And in the in-betweeners, he goes up to, is it Warwick? University or something. and then the mates, the students come around, it's like, oh no, he's asked a question, he got to drink two fingers now. His mate, he looked quite like, you know, old matey boys mates here, the old D's lot, Ridges. But yeah, just so far up his own arsehole, I can't actually figure out where he actually starts and ends. So yeah, you've got no chance. Just talk about fame hungry desperado. That's this guy right here. So yeah, I mean, he'll be a character, won't he? He'll do something, but yeah, the couple's got no chance.
Fucking no chance, Dave. So Dave, I know we've built up a little bit, had a bit of a skate over the sea this week, but the fucking dinner party. And you were ahead of me on this, and you were like, mate, what's the dinner party? And I'm like, no, I will. And honestly, fucking unbelievable, this dinner party. So Lauren comes in. Jonathan, now I've got a question, Dave. If you're with your mate or you know, whether Lauren's with Tory mates or Jonathan's with Jack, and he's sworn to secrecy, if you're sworn to secrecy, if you do reveal that, because we've all done that, I won't tell anybody. You might have told your partner, but you know they're not going to say something, are they? They're going to keep their mouth shut. Not on maths, Jonathan. Not on maths. And Lauren come with this agenda. It felt a bit set up. She straight away goes and speaks to Sarah, don't she? But the dialogue Jack's used against Tori, and honestly, we said it last week, she gets everything she deserves, Tori, at the moment, because she's just fucking Bronte. He could do nothing wrong. Even when they told her what he said about, you know, when it comes to the weekends where we swap partners, you could, if you want to sleep with her, you can. Or, you know, I'm paraphrasing, that's what he said. And it's like, he said that genuinely. There's a reason that they have never had sex together. It's not because he's a good fucking Catholic boy and wants to get fucking married first date, because apparently he's the fucking Wish version of Christian fucking Grey, isn't he? He's read all them books, the little prick, and he's fucking man bun. He's a horrible fucking weasel fucking dick who spends more time in the gym and then fucking 1980s Jane Fonda fucking outfits he keeps wearing are getting tighter and tighter by the episode when he comes back from the gym. He's a cock, Dave. Tori's better looking than what he gives her credit for, but he thinks he's the fucking dog's bollocks, and he's not even good looking, Dave. He's got the body and that's about it, because he's a dickhead. And honestly, everything that was put at him this week with Lauren and everyone was totally correct. He's so inappropriate. He does not respect Tori. But if she wants to stay in the show, she's going to keep doing this, and we're going to get more frustrated until there's a point where she's like, I don't need to be with him now. Like Bronte, two or three episodes in the end, and she's going to leave. That's my prediction. I might be way off, Dave. They may be madly in love and engaged by the time, because we're behind everyone. But I don't like him. She's a bell end as well for putting up with it. And everyone else is looking out for him. She just cannot see it. Just doubles down on him all the time.
What a fucking dinner party, though.
Sorry, I don't think chat.
It was a great one, wasn't it? Because you could just see it all building up and stuff. And let's put it out there, like the crescendo to the whole piece is when he tells Jonathan to muzzle your woman. I'm like, fucking hell. You do realize you're going to be at a commitment ceremony tomorrow, eh? You are going to fucking get some pelters for that one. But yeah, I tell you what, Chris, I mean, I'm wobbling on Bell End of the Week this week. I don't think we dished out the award last week. The obvious one is Jack. But you know who else who I think's in the running? Fucking Jonathan.
Yes,
because I tell you what, to actually divulge that information and then, you know, he surely knows what Lauren is like. She's going to say something. And I kind of feel like, once you're burdened with that information, you've got to tell your mate, haven't you? You know, if your mate is playing this character of being really into Jack, well, you've got to kind of let her know what's been said. And I don't know. I feel like all of the negative things that Lauren has been saying about Jonathan, about like he's just, you know, he's a bit of a fucking wet lettuce, really, isn't he? And like he just showed himself to be that. And he just... It was a weird kind of thing where, you know, the more that Jack doubled down and was basically trying to gaslight everyone, yeah, I do find her sexually attractive. What I found weird was none of the guys stepped up. I feel like Timothy would have done, only he upset Lucinda last week, didn't he? Because he was going at people and then, you know, she was annoyed at the time, but at the commitment ceremony, she pointed it out. So I think he might have said something, but he wasn't. No one called out the fact that Timothy has said in a group setting that he just doesn't find his wife sexually attractive, but he's saying it there. He's lying through his fucking teeth. And then Jonathan's like, yeah, what he said. It's like, fucking hell, get on your knees and fucking blow him off, for fuck's sake. I just... He got into the fucking submissive character himself. Chris, he really, really pissed me off.
I can fucking tell, yeah. It sounded like he was having a mouthful day. But anyway, he did, though, didn't he? You're right. He's like, Jack, the way Jack does it to Tori, he went, oh, Tori knows my sense of humour. Looks at her, gives her a kiss. She was fuming when she told this, but then she was like, hang on, I'm on the show. Okay, I'll just accept it, because if I don't, I make a big thing of it. One, everyone's going to be right. They're going to see through our plan that we're staying till the end. And then he did the same thing with Jono. Oh, as they were calling him, Dave, fucking Jono. They were calling him Jono, weren't they? You know, proper Aussie, that abbreviation. But he did, he looked at him for ages and went, you think carefully. You know, we're friends, blah, blah, blah. And he went, yeah, you're right. And he bottled it. And I think that's going to fuck him a Lauren up. However, Dave, also, we do know what's coming here. I might be wrong, but it's got to be Lauren and Jack together when they swap couples, hasn't it? Fucking living
Jesus
together.
Christ.
Harrison did it with her from last season, the blonde girl, wasn't it? Oh, what's her name? They were together, weren't they? Same house, same flat.
Was it Melinda?
Melinda, yeah, that's it. Yeah. They put them together, didn't they? Because I was like, oh, hang on a minute, is there a spark here? And I was completely wrong. But yeah.
Can you imagine if you got fucking coupled up with Tori now? It's like, oh, I feel a bit of pressure now. Jack said I've got to get on the job.
Yeah. If you insist, yeah. But
I mean, she was saying, sorry to cut across you, she was saying like, oh yeah, our humor's really dark. And it's like, that's got fuck all to do with it. I mean, you know for a fact you're not actually sleeping together. And you know, there's a reason for that. You said yourself, there's something wrong. If we get through intimacy week and we don't sleep together, then there's something wrong with that. So she knows, but like you say, she's just so desperate to stay on the show. And she's such a letdown for this so-called, you know, alpha female character that's come in. She just showed herself to be fucking pathetic, to be honest. And just getting gaslit by that bell end. It's just really, really disappointing. But that was the moment when it went, when the camera went to Jaden, because I don't think Jaden likes him at all. I'm like, go on, no. He's probably the only one there who could potentially intimidate Jack. But no, he just said fuck all.
Yeah, but Dave, going off Jaden's track record, he's probably thinking, listen, Jack, if you want me to sleep with your girlfriend and watch it, I've got previous. I've got no problem. You come in to watch it, mate, and I'll look after her for you and everything. I've done it before. Yeah, I'm joking aside. I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking, go on, say something. And he says nothing, does he? He says absolutely. He's. I mean, after his revelation, that was an awful thing to do anyway to his ex-girlfriend. You know, she had cheated on him. But you're sort of thinking he's in a good place with Eden. Stand up. You'll get a bit of kudos. Maybe they clashed later on. I don't know. But he clearly doesn't like him. He just, oh, fucking hell. I mean, I love the reactions of the rest of the contestants of that day, you know, all the couples, because you can see the ones just like, is this fucking... I mean, it was that bad what Jack said. Even fucking Sarah was outraged. And I'm like, wow, for all the people, you're outraged. You know what I mean? But fucking brilliant, brilliant TV again for all the wrong reasons.
I just wonder, do you not feel like this is set up for, I don't know, Jack to couple up with one of the intruder couple's brides or something?
Yeah, I think he will. I don't think we've not... I don't think we've... at the end of what he's going to do, Dave, I genuinely do. And then Tori's going to act as if she was blindsided, isn't she? Like, I didn't even know this was going to come this. You know, it's like, come on.
Like, you know, Bronte, I mean? Last year. Like, yeah. Oh, no, I just completely pulled the wool over my eyes. And I had no idea. It's like, fuck off.
Okay, Pinocchio, yeah. Oh, brilliant. Absolutely love it. So anything else, Dave, before we go?
I think just the, I'm not sure where Timothy and Lucinda are this week, you know, just in terms of will they, won't they, are they salvageable, are they not? You know, he talked, oh my God, it was at the dinner party, wasn't it, where he lets, well, he didn't let slip, but he was talking to Tristan about his dad. You know, his dad's dying words, pretty much, were that he doesn't like you. And it's like,
terrible. Yeah.
Fucking hell. I mean, that is, and that was only, what was it, 5 weeks before the wedding or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what? I can't imagine the scenario where you're just about to exit this mortal coil and you think, you know, your fucking offspring, you're going to burden them with that. I mean, it's just disgusting, isn't it? And so I'm not saying that excuses some of his kind of behavior, because I don't think he's been very nice to Lucinda in certain bits. And, you know, but that is a terrible thing to have to live with.
Yeah, it is, to be fair. And obviously we have no context either, do we, what the situation, but you're right. And I forgot about them. Yeah, he got called out, didn't he? Because he's, again, Lucinda, to be fair, she, with the sort of experts backing her, she's like, I don't know what you want. I don't know what you want. And she was right, wasn't she? They called him out. And then towards the end of the week, he was like, actually, yeah, we're in a great spot. We're in a great spot. So much so that he never said much, really, to Jack and Tori when it kicked off. He'd already done that the week before, hadn't he? He was like, I think what he liked, Timothy, was the fact that other people were going at him. You know what I mean? He's like, I'd have to do my bidding. But yeah, I don't think they're going to be together either. I really don't. I think Lucinda's too nice a person from what he deserves, really. Very bizarre.
It'd be a good, so almost like a redemption story, wouldn't it? I'm just unsure now. I feel like Lucinda is that perfect person for someone like that, someone who's carrying all of this baggage. I think, like, it could be a bit of a redemption arc, I think. I don't know. I'm not saying it will be. I'm just saying I'm open to the fact that, I mean, some of the fucking couples have got to work out, surely, Chris. You mentioned Cassandra and Tristan. I mean, Christ, they're up and down like a yo-yo, aren't they? I'm getting slightly bored of that dynamic now. I, you know, I want them to either progress or not. But yeah, what I can't wait for, Chris, is to get into these next four fucking episodes because I fucking love it. I mean, I don't love the intruder weddings and stuff this week. Like I say, I feel this week a little bit shortchanged, but that's just why I'm waiting to get into these next episodes now.
No, it's going to be good, mate. And I'm so pleased that we're there doing all this. So, no, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant stuff. And thank you to everyone who's listening along with us. If you're in the UK, obviously, we're up to date with what's going on in the UK. If you're outside the UK, you're ahead of us. I love the fact that people are going back and just listening to the podcast, Dave. And there, you know, and you've got a lot of people tuning in with the hindsight, like, we're probably going, you two don't know what the hell you're talking about. Just you wait. Because it's nearly finished, isn't it, really, in Australia? So
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so we're pretty close to the end over there. So, yeah, so let's see anyway. But honestly, as always, if you want to email us, cdrealitycast@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, @cdrealitycast. As always, get over to facebook.com/... Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. Come and join us. Big thanks to Charlene, as always, for running and moderating that channel. And all the episodes are on there as well if you're outside the UK. So please get on there. If you do want to watch it live with ourselves, we do have a link in the show notes for NordVPN as well. So you can watch it on, I was going to say ITVX, but you see E4 player, Channel 4 player. So good stuff. So, Dave, also, if you want to support us, sorry, I forgot about that. I can't forget the roll call of honor. I've not even been doing it for 400 episodes, but there you go. So, please, if you want to support us, get over to patreon.com/CDRealityCast. So, the roll call of honor, and massive thank you to Sinead, Jesse, Kathleen Sims, Andrea, Nick, Danielle, Kim, Amanda, Larissa, Helen, Nicola, Fiona, Cassie, Maggie, Zoe, Gillian, Keith, Helen, Chloe, Joanna, Libby, Katie, Dee Dee, Susan, Hennessy, Lauren, Lucky Rudy Green, and Kent Gustafson. So thank you so much, guys, for all your support, past and present, on Patreon. It's just amazing the amount of people who support our podcast. I really, really appreciate it. And, well, Dave, we're nearly halfway there now, I think, or just about to hit halfway in the series. So, yeah, it's been absolutely ridiculous, as always, but I just love maths.
Yeah, it's so good, isn't it? It's such nonsense. And like you say, even where, you know, it's stretching reality a little bit too far, it's still great. So I can't wait for next week. So thank you very much, sir. Thanks to all our listeners out there. Thanks to all our supporters. And we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.